We're going to move on into a study of the Holy Spirit. I'll warn you now, you'll need your Bibles. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture this morning. Just a lot of Scripture, just to show you and I how good God is to us in giving us the Holy Spirit and some of the things that the Holy Spirit is to us. We can never cover it all in just a few minutes, but we're going to do our best. Good group of kids this morning for Sunday school. Amen? Amen. We'll start. The first scripture you'll be in is Acts chapter number 5 this morning. Acts chapter number 5. You can turn there, but again, we'll be in a few different scriptures this morning, so you'll need your Bibles. Thank you for coming to Sunday school this morning. Good to see some back that were out last week. Pray for the ones who are not here. A lot of people feeling a little under the weather. As we continue our journey, we come to a topic that is at the head of many debates. What is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Is he God? Many like to refer to him as the third person of the Trinity. This seems to convey the idea that there is a rank of importance within the Godhead, the Father being number one, the Son being number two, and the Spirit being number three. However, the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father or the Son. Very important to understand that. He is a person of the Trinity. He is not to be referred to as an it. He is God. Let us take a look at what he actually does among those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Let me just start by asking you this. How many are saved in here today and you know you're saved? Listen, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. In the Bible, we find that the Spirit was involved in creation. You can see that in Genesis chapter number 1. But also in Acts chapter 5, we see that he is called God by Peter. The Holy Spirit is called God. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse number 3 and 4. He's dealing with Ananias and Sapphira here. You guys know the story. We don't need to tell the story. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath, what's the next word? Satan filled thine heart to lie. So one thing we see here always is that when you get the urge to lie, who is it always going to be? Always gonna be Satan. Listen, God cannot what? Lie. He cannot lie. He cannot give you the idea to lie. He's not gonna give you the thought to lie. The lie is always from who, church? Satan. Ananias said, why hath Satan, or Peter said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the what, church? Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who? God. Now look, in verse 3, he said, why hast thou lied to who? The Holy Ghost. And then right there in verse 4, he said, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who? God. So understand, the Holy Ghost is just as much God as God is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So he is called God by Peter in Acts chapter 5. Look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 9 this morning. We'll take our time and just go on a journey just this morning and learn and understand just who the Holy Spirit of God really is. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 14. We see he is noted as being eternal. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, the Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal what? Spirit. Now that's a capital S. That's how you know he's talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now who offered himself? Jesus did, right? So here we are. Here's the Trinity again. God the Father, God the Son, God the what? Holy Spirit. Understand, God the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. Offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living who? God, man, we see the Trinity right there in Hebrews chapter number 9. He has all the characteristics that are ascribed to deity. He is omniscient. That word omniscient means having infinite awareness or understanding. Look in your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This really is a pretty amazing thing when you study out who the Holy Spirit is and what you actually, and who you actually, I should say, have living inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, in verse number 10 and 11, the Bible says, well, we know that he's omniscient, and again, that means having infinite awareness or understanding. The Bible says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his what? Now, that's a capital S, so that's talking about the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth, what's the next two words? All things. Yea, the deep things of who? God, right there we see God and God the Holy Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? Now, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a little s. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the capital S, Spirit of God. So he's an all-knowing, all-aware. He has infinite awareness and understanding. And by the way, if you're saved, he is living within you. So if he has infinite awareness and infinite understanding, guess what he gives us the ability to have? Infinite awareness and infinite understanding. But here's the deal. It's just like anything else. You can turn the switch off. Now, does that mean he's gone? He's not gone, but there's plenty of times where we humble ourselves to our flesh versus humbling ourselves to the Spirit of God who's living and dwelling within us. Amen? Plenty of times. Happens all the time. So we see he's omniscient. We see he's omnipresent. What does that mean? It means he's being present everywhere at once. You think about just how incredible it is to think when we leave here today, it's pretty easy to think, okay, God, the Holy Spirit, he's living within 15 or 20 people right here, but we're all in one room. But what about when we go out those doors today and you go that way and that way and that way and that way and that way? Guess what? The Holy Spirit's everywhere. He is in every single one of you, everywhere you go. Let's look at Psalm chapter number 139. This is incredible. Psalm 139. To think that no matter where we go, we can't get away from him. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure thankful for that. Because there's plenty of times that I've given him, in my mind, plenty of excuse that he should just be like, hey, buddy, enough's enough. But thank God we don't serve a God like that. Amen? Psalm 139, verse 7 through 13. The Bible says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, little s, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So the Spirit of God is very omnipresent. But not only that, he's omnipotent. And what does that mean? That means having unlimited power. He's able to do anything. Isn't that good that we have someone living inside us like that? He's able to do anything. Look at Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1 this morning. Told you it was going to be a lot of Bible, but I promise it ain't going to be boring. Luke chapter number 1, verse 35. The Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here we are talking. You say, what do you mean he's able to do anything? Well, who else do you know is capable of coming to a virgin young lady and saying, hey, you're going to conceive? And by the way, you're not going to be with another man to make that happen. Y'all okay with this? The Holy Spirit of God is able to do that. And he's the only one that has ever done that. And let me just give you a hint to all the people out there that think it's possible to have babies without the natural way. Listen, only God was able to do that, and only God is ever going to be able to do such a miracle as this. So he is omnipotent. He has unlimited power, and he's able to do anything. Can I say this? He has a personality seen by the fact that he speaks. Look at Acts chapter number 28. The Holy Spirit has a personality seen by the fact that he speaks. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 25. The Bible says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the" who? "Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers." Can I say that he teaches? You can look in John 14, 26. We'll look at this verse. John 14, 26. Back just a few chapters. John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit teaches also. This one's pretty good. John 14, 26, the Bible says, "But the Comforter," now the Comforter, he's referring to the Holy Spirit here, "the Comforter, which is the" what? "Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall" what, church? "Teach you all things and bring all things to your" what? "Remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So can I just say this? You know, there's a lot of good teachers out there in this world. A lot of them. But here's the reality. If you're saved, you know the best teacher that has ever been. He lives and resides in you. This is what I like to tell people all the time. I was meeting with a man this week, and you know, he said something along the lines of, "Well, I just don't understand everything, buddy." And when I read the Bible, I said, you know what I said? I was honest with him. I said, "Welcome to the club." I said, "But here's the deal. We have the author of the Bible living within us." Now, the Bible does say, "Study to show" what? "Thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So, is it possible, if I really want to understand it and I use the Holy Ghost, who's the author of that, to reveal truth to me, is it possible to understand that? Absolutely it is. But is it possible to understand it in my own power? It's just not. I mean, there's still parts of this Bible you'll read and your mind will just go circles. You're like, what in the world is he talking about? Four horsemen? What is that all about? But see, if you haven't read the whole Bible, don't go read Revelation without reading the prophets first. Don't try that, because I promise you, you'll just put it down and you'll never pick it up again. One time before I had read the whole Bible, me and my brother-in-law, we decided one time we were going to read through the book of Revelation. And we were going to see who could do it the fastest, right? It was kind of a challenge. Me and my brother-in-law, Caleb, we always got into these crazy challenges. Like, one time our family did a Biggest Loser challenge. And we were like, who can lose the most weight? Well, we were on teams, though. Me and Caleb decided to be on the same team. I mean, you talk about fun. When you get another ultra-competitive guy on your team, and you're like, it turned into me and him, really, who could lose the most weight out of us, you know? But there was this one time where he's like, "Hey, let's see who can read Revelation the fastest." I'm like, okay, let's try it. So he read it. He understood it a little bit more than I read it. And I'm like, I hope you got something out of that, because I didn't get very much at all. I read it all in one setting and just really didn't understand it. But can I say, through the years, since I've understood who the Holy Ghost is, listen, you got to understand, God is the author of the Bible. He wrote it. He preserved it. For us, this is where people get confused. Well, we don't have the original manuscripts. Well, listen, when you're able to read Greek, when you're able to understand Hebrew, and when you're able to get your hands on the original manuscripts, which, by the way, no one has them. Y'all okay? No one has them. This is why we have a God, an all-powerful, we just talked about it, a God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, able to preserve his word to us as English-speaking people. See, God knew that there were going to be many languages. You understand what I'm saying? And he knew that we, if we were going to stand a chance, we were going to need a copy of his preserved, inspired, infallible, without error word. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preserve it and give it to you in your language. It's going to be exactly what I said, not in Greek, not in Hebrew, not in Latin. But it's going to be to you in English so that you can have a copy. How many believe God's big enough to do that? Let me tell you something. He did it. And we have it right here. We've got to understand just how powerful God really is. Can I say, the Holy Spirit comforts us. We just read that. Can I say this, though? He's also grieved. you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Look in Ephesians chapter number 4. And this is where we got to be careful with grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So God's Spirit can be grieved. How? What are some ways? Let's just take a toll here. You can raise your hand and answer. You know, how many of you have ever grieved before? You've been in a time of grieving. Well, what are some things that would you think would send God into a grieving period over us? What do you think it might be? Let's just have some fun here for a minute. What are some things that could grieve the Spirit of God? No wrong answers, no right answers. I mean, sin, good. What else? Blaming him for something. I mean, you know, someone passes away, and what's the natural reaction? God, why'd you do that? You know what he says? If you just would read my word, he pretty much told us as plain as day, it's appointed unto man what? Once to what? Die. He told us we were all going to do that. God, why is my son doing this? God, why is my daughter doing this? And you know, I believe it's important. I've always been taught like this. I don't think you should come to church to get right. I think you should come to church because you're already right. You understand what I'm saying? If this is just a place that you come and you just got to come, I mean, listen, I'm not against bowing your knees on the altar, not one bit. I believe you ought to do that. But here's my thing. If you got to come here to get right and then you walk out that door and you're not right anymore, listen, why can't we live right all the time? We're never going to be sinless, but we should be sinning less and less. Amen? Because we already have God. So grieve not the Holy Spirit. It's very important to try your best to live as well as you can through the Holy Spirit. And can I say this? The Holy Spirit is resisted. Look at Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. In verse 51. Let's start in verse 50. The Bible says, "Hath not my hand made all these things?" Look what he said in verse 51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this, but I wonder how many of you could be honest and say, "Preacher, there's times that I've resisted the Holy Ghost. Plenty of times where God has clearly led me down a direction and I just said no." And listen, God gives you the ability to say no. Did you know that? But it doesn't mean you should always say no just because you don't want to. We talked about it last week. We talked, you say, "Lord willing, I'll be at church." I like your text message yesterday, Miss Janet. That was a funny response. She said, "I know the Lord's willing, and if we're able, we'll be there." That was funny. But see, listen, God's will is for us to be in his house when the doors are open. Amen? If you cannot be here, you cannot be here. But listen, if you're able to be here and you're able to do the things that God has told you to do, folks, listen, you ought to obey God. You know, in the Old Testament, he said we ought to obey God rather than who? Man. Every single time the kings turned and obeyed the people, what happened to Israel? And along would come a bad king, and then they'd have tribulation. Then a good king would come, and he'd serve God. Then he'd die off, and then the next king would say, "And he knew not God." Boom. Listen to the people, and they fall every single time. Folks, we need to learn to stop listening to people and listen to God. God is a lot smarter than you and I. Y'all okay with that? A whole lot smarter. These things can only be done by a personal being, all the things we just went through. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired those men who were used to give us our Bible. This is a good one. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'd like you to know that this word we have is inspired. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, well, let's back up. Let's read from verse number 19. I want you to see this. The Bible says, we have also a more sure what? Word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, how many of you, if you're in a dark place and you're scared and you're worried and you don't know where you are, how many of you, if you actually see a ray of light, are not going to go towards that light? Every single one of us are going to go to the light. Why? Because there must be a safe spot up there. There's got to be light somewhere. And you see it and you naturally run to it. Well, why is it that in a dark world, we as Christians don't run to the light? Until the day of dawn, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any what? That means we can understand it. Y'all okay? But look at this. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the what? So if none of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, you know what God just told us here? In the New Testament, for those of you who might struggle with the new and old thing, in the New Testament, God said there's not a single part of this word that's of any private interpretation. In other words, I didn't give it to just a couple of individuals. I didn't keep that away from you so that you could not understand it. I gave you the Holy Ghost, and you have the ability through Him to understand all Scripture. By the way, if some of it weren't able to be understood, why would He say all Scripture is profitable? Y'all understand that? If it's all profitable, folks, He's given us the ability to understand it. God never contradicts Himself. The Word of God never contradicts Himself. We've got to understand, if it's all profitable, hey, we have the ability to understand it. But folks, you'll never understand it without reading it, without having a relationship with it, without loving it. You've got to desire it. Throughout history, He has been used to convict men. How many would say, I remember the day when I got convicted? And you know, I like to say it like this. I don't ever want to be a preacher. I've seen preachers that'll drag on altar call, you know, trying to convince somebody to come forward and be saved. Look, I don't believe in that. Here's what I believe in. I believe in having an altar call, an invitation. And the truth is, if God's convicting them, He's probably convicted them through the message, is already speaking to them. I don't ever want to talk somebody into salvation, because that's not real. You know, I'm sure I could sit any young child, 6, 7, 8 years old, and I tell them, hey, if you don't say this prayer, you're going to die and go to hell. How many of them kids are going to say that prayer? Every last one of them. But here's the deal. I want God to convict them. I want the Holy Spirit to do His job. It's not my job to convict. That's God's job to convict. Don't ever get misled. Throughout history, He's been used to convict men, to come upon men and give them strength and to carry out God's will among His people. Although the Bible has much to say about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord, many Christians do not understand what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in their own lives. The Holy Spirit did not just work during the days of old and the New Testament and then disappear. He is still at work among us today. He has taken up residency in your heart, and you are not able to evict Him. Isn't that good? You can't say, hey, I don't want you anymore. He said, tough luck. You got me for eternity. Amen. While you may ignore Him, He waits patiently to have fellowship with you. The Holy Spirit is a vital part of the New Testament church. His role is pictured perfectly in Genesis 24, where Abraham the father sends his servant to get a bride for Isaac his son. That is exactly what the Spirit is doing in our churches today. He has been sent by the Father to gather together the bride for the Son. In the early church, He called missionaries and directed them. Look at Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 this morning. And while you're finding that, find Acts 13. Acts chapter number 8 and verse 29. The Bible says, then the, what's the next word? Spirit, capital S, said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Now look at this. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. You know where that come from? Isaiah. He's sitting here helping him understand what God said in the Old Testament. And like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now, can I say, yes, God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Bible. But look, God uses you and I as tools to help other people understand the Bible. To help other people understand the Word. Look, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall I know unless this is a lost man? Philip runs up and says, Understandest thou what you're reading? And this guy's like, Nope. How can I unless some man should show me? See, God's Spirit within Philip was able to show this man how to be saved. Was able to show this man understanding. And look, God still uses us as tools today. There's still Philips all over the place. By the way, we all should be like that. That we should all be looking for an opportunity. Man, do you understand what you're reading there? That's why I love junior church. That's why I love young people. I love it when teachers invest in young people. You know, those little kids, man, they get so interested. Man, you can get so dramatic teaching that story of David and Goliath. You remember what it was like when you were young and sitting in Sunday school and you heard these stories for the first time. Whoa, David slew a lion and a bear. And you go home and you tell your mom, Mom, you know what David did? Hey, listen, but really, how are they going to understand the big picture? The big picture is who was behind all that power? Who's behind David? You know, he said, I come in the name of the what? The Lord. Look, that's why we're here. We're tools to show these young people, to show our community who Jesus is. We've got to understand that God uses us just like that today. You may be thinking, this is all good and fair information, but it still does not tell us how the Holy Spirit is working in the life of believers today. It is great to know how he worked in the past and how he was used in the church, but I need to know, what is he doing in my life? If he abides inside me, then there should be some type of relationship. Yet what that relationship consists of is a mystery to me. If that describes how you feel, then relax. It's time to see what the Holy Spirit's ministry is concerning you. Let's look at one more scripture, and I'm going to unplug there, and in 2 weeks we'll pick up this, because I don't want to start this and not be able to finish it. Acts chapter number 13. I told you to find Acts 13. We'll look at this scripture, and we'll unplug here this morning and pick back up here in a couple of weeks. Acts 13, verse number 2. Remember, he uses missionaries. And this is another reason why we support international missions. Amen? Acts 13 and verse number 2, the Bible says, As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have what? Verse 3, And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, what did they do? Sent them where? You know what they're doing, the local church here? What they're doing is Saul and Barnabas had grew up in this church, and God had used them in a mighty way, and here's what happens. See, look, we could have 50 preachers in this church, but what good would 50 preachers do in one church when 50 preachers could be in 50 churches? You guys hear what I'm saying? That's what it's all about. One of the hardest things I ever had to do was leave my church in Alaska. It bothered me. And it hurt me, and I knew that God wanted to do something with me. And the reality is, listen, I can tell you this. Out of that church, just in the last 15 years, let me just tell you what the Lord's done. I'll just give you some examples of what the Lord has done there. There's a pastor in Kenai, Alaska, that grew up in that church. He's 33 years old. He's my brother-in-law. He grew up under that ministry. There's an evangelist to America. He lives in Alabama. He travels all over the place preaching. That's my other brother-in-law. There's a missionary named Casey Davis. He's in India today with his wife and three kids. Is that how many they have? Wife and three kids, a missionary to India. He's 31 years old, missionary to India, sent right out of that church. Listen, God raised up all these preacher boys. But here's the deal. He don't just raise them up to sit still. He wants to send them out. And look at verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Folks, listen. The Holy Ghost does have a plan for you and me. He does have a plan for these young people that we see walking through every day. You know, we might have the next, you don't know, Jack Hiles on our hands. You never know. You know what Jack Hiles was? Just a poor old street boy. How many know who Jack Hiles was? Just a poor old street boy. Daddy was a drunk. Mama tried to take him to church. Mama would get beat for taking little Jackie boy to church. And one day he was on a street corner and a bus driver came by and said, "Son, you want to go to church?" 4 years old. Got on the bus, got saved. 20 years later, started what is now the biggest church in North America. Hey, you don't know what you're dealing with. Just a little street boy with ripped up clothes, no shoes on his feet in Chicago. You have no idea who we have walking these floors every single day. But here's the deal. Somebody's got to invest in them. I wonder if you'll let God use you. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, bless us in this next hour in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.